my guitar has got 12 frets per octave. The one that Charles Lucy is sitting there playing opposite me, how many has that got to the octave, Charles?
This has 25, and after 19, you get sort of double ones. After you've got 19 in an octave, the next ones start getting doubles.
Are you a musician? Are you a physicist? What are you? Or are you just a dreamer?
Probably a little of all. I'm curious as to how music worked and to how the... why I could never get guitars in tune. You must have had this problem too.
Well, yes, but I'm sufficiently cloth-eared that I say one is close enough for rock and roll or something.
Well, if you play a G, it sounds in tune, perhaps, to your ears for G, but then you try and play an E major, sort of open position, you suddenly find that your first finger, which is on the third string, it just doesn't sound right. It all clashes. Unfortunately, we didn't bring any regular guitars with us to show you the difference. Yes, anyone who's got one at home can try it out.
I was asked this morning if I bought mine, and I said, no, not in such august company, no. So you are a player, basically, are you?
Yes, self-taught guitarist.
A self-taught guitarist, right. And you must have some scientific background as well to even...
My background is actually in music. My mother's a musician. And before I was even born, I was sitting in the middle of a symphony orchestra listening to violins being tuned up and concerts being played in the cathedrals in Gloucestershire and Worcestershire and so forth. Mm. And my training is as a systems analyst.
Right.
So the two do tie together.
So if you analyse the system of a stringed musical instrument, because it is basically stringed musical instruments we're talking about.
No, it affects any musical instrument.
Any musical instrument, right. Okay. What's the problem? I thought all the problems had been solved prior to Bach's time. That's why he produced this suite for the well-tempered clavier. I mean, that was to kind of celebrate, wasn't it, that it had all been solved?
Well, I think that was to... There seemed to be a number of controversial views about what that was to do. But the purpose of it appeared to be so that you could transpose from or modulate from one key to another. And what you were talking about, the system we use at present, is 12 equal intervals.
Right.
So if you imagine a clock, it would be the circle of the clock being the octave. You would land up with one note at each of the positions of the numbers.
Okay. And what's wrong with that? I mean, we have existed using that for quite a while.
Well, 2,000 years ago, the Pythagorean school, the Greek philosophers, thought that if you had whole number ratios, or rather they made a mathematical model of what we hear as harmonics.
Right.
And they thought that whole number ratios caused harmonics. That is, if you had a string vibrating, say, at 220, and you had one at 330, that was what caused a harmonic.
And that was what caused a consonant harmonic, caused consonants.
Well, that was a theory, yes. And that's still what's taught in the music schools and still what's taught in physics.
Right, so 256 and 512 are consonant because it's the simplest interval. But 256 and what would be two thirds? Whatever two thirds of 256 is, choosing a number almost at random, that would be a consonant interval because it has a simple mathematical relationship.
Yes, well, that's how the theory goes. That
right.
your fifth, that is the interval from C to G, would have a frequency ratio of 3/2. But
right.
Strangely enough, comes out to 702 cents. Cents. If you imagine you have an octave,
yes,
which is 1,200 cents, imagine it like a clock.
Yes.
And you, for each semitone, you break into 100 smaller parts. You've got your clock.
Yeah.
Right, the way around the clock is 1,200 units. Each hour, around the clock, would be 100, which represents a semitone. And you break that semitone into 100 different parts.
Yeah.
The only reason it gets complicated is that it's working on a geometric progression.
Let's not scare them too much with...
Imagine log paper.
Yeah.
Right.
But I want to know how this affects my ears. Do you mean that my ears, my brain, are being forced to accept dissonances and it's trying to make them into consonances, that we're in fact being duped all the time?
Yes, Tim has some comments on that, I think.
Yeah, can you... if you can... position yourself fairly close to this moment. Right. Have you known this character for a long time, Tim?
Since July of this year, when we met at the British Music Fair, when he asked if he could leave his guitar on my stand.
I see. And, what were you doing there?
I was working on a magazine stand. I'm a music journalist, technical journalist. I've been working around the industry for the last 10 years.
And
various projects.
And did what Charles was saying strike some resonant chord in you?
Yes, it did. I've always been a fan of folk music, and I've always found that people who find folk music out of tune quite strange, because it always sounded consonant to me. People hate bagpipes. Simply because...
Not everybody hates bagpipes.
No, I'm sure.
Some people. I quite like bagpipes Irish from a distance. They're great.
Yes. But the music created by bagpipes is based on a much older scale than we're used to now. Mm. We're constantly bombarded by music. I mean, or muzak, down the local supermarket or wherever. Your ear becomes abridged. It takes out whatever dissonance would normally be there and leaves you with simply the consonant notes. This is a compromise. All guitars are built on that compromise.
And all instruments are built on
all
that compromise.
Yes.
Because a stringed instrument, you don't have to compromise quite so much. Because on a guitar, if I want that interest, if I'm playing an E, if I want that interesting note that's just above G, I just stretch it a bit.
Yes.
You bend.
You bend, yes.
Looking for the blue notes.
Yes,
that's
right.
Call it. Yes. The thing about the Lucy scale guitar, whether it's got 19 frets the octave or 25, as Charles's have, you don't have to look for the blue notes by bending. They're there already.
So what happens normally, you see, is when you play the... Imagine you have a band and the rhythm guitarist is thrashing away, playing in equal temperament, and your lead guitarist is bending the notes. You're, in fact, landing up with two different tunings going on at the same time, which is why you get this dissonance.
Yeah, but I quite like that dissonance.
Oh, because you're accustomed to it,
yes.
Sure. It's just that Schoenberg had done all there was to do, to my mind, with 12 notes in an octave. The only direction music could really go was to open it up. It's rather like having a set of paints and you've got 12 colours and you're not allowed to mix them.
You are not the only person thinking this way. George Benjamin has been here and his latest work is written for quarter tones.
But quarter tones have the same problem.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say, but quarter tones, you're still just splitting up your equal temperament into
exactly.
smaller
yes.
little bits.
It's the premise that the distance from one note to the next is one set distance and
it
has
isn't.
To remain that way. It's not, it's different. And there are two sets of intervals, a large one and a small one. And it's the combination of those that makes the strange-looking frets on these instruments.
It looks as if it's designed to be played by an octopus. I'm not quite sure how...
No, only this one that has double frets and 25 and made mandolin wire. And so. This one's very straightforward.
Well, that one that Tim's got, the frets get so small around the top.
Yes.
I'm not quite sure how you're going to begin to play it.
3 millimetres apart at the very top.
Can you play me something to show me what your guitars, the new scale that you have, is capable of, that you can actually play these things? Is that possible?
Charlie looks forward. I look backwards. So I'll play a piece that is basically a medieval tune.
Yeah, just play me a chord to make sure I've got the right... Okay, right, I can hear you. Fine, yeah. You're going to play me a medieval tune.
A medieval tune to show that they were in a better position to play this sort of scale than we are today. The Rebecks and Psalteries of then were in tune. We are not.
Out of tune, Tim.
I think it sounds out of tune. But.
No, there's one note was out of tune, the rest of it was in. Didn't it hear it sound in to you except for one string? You know the bit I'm talking about.
That chord.
That's a D chord.
It's D, but not played in the same way or shape that it is on a standard guitar. There's an extra fret there in between the two sets of fingers, if you like.
Now, if you play me the scale, what would be a chromatic scale? Can you do
you
that?
Can't.
You can't.
Because it's irrelevant. You've got to decide on the black notes whether they're sharps or flats, so you can't really play a chromatic scale.
Because on your scale, shall we say, C sharp is different from D flat?
Exactly.
You hit it on the head.
Yeah, and I've got this headache, Doctor. All right, then play me a C-sharp and then play me a D-flat. Can you do that?
That's C-sharp. That's D-flat. So if you went... That's A, B, C-sharp, D. What key has a D-flat in it?
Oh, don't ask me difficult questions. It's 22 minutes past two.
Where's my book? I can figure it out.
We've got your guitar directly injected into the desk. If you do the same thing, C sharp and D flat, can you tell me the difference? Show me the difference.
If we're looking at it that way, the difference between those two notes, that's a short interval. In the Lucy scale.
It's not a small interval. It's the difference between a sharp and a flat.
Yes. Would be standard on our normal tuning, but...
Actually, it's too large minus a small, is what it is, to be precise.
This gets complicated.
That's why I needed a computer to work it out.
Yes, it is playable.
But this is so complicated, and I do know a little bit about music. I do know a little bit about scales, and I'm getting lost. Are we going up a blind alley, or are we going up something which is going to revolutionise music and change the way that music is played?
Well, the first thing that happened was 200 years ago, John Harrison, who was the horologer, spent most of his life working on designing clocks to win a prize which Parliament had offered in 1715. The purpose of the prize was to devise a means of measuring longitude accurately for navigational purposes, so we knew where ships were. His way of tackling it was to make wonderful time-measuring instruments. So he did a lot of work with pendulums. And his other interest was music, which he had spent a lot of time doing before he got involved with trying to win the prize for longitude. He eventually got the prize for longitude, and there are a number of books about this and how he did it and all the political battles he had and everything else. And at the end of his life, after he got his prize and he'd written the books that he was required to do to fulfill the conditions of the prize, he wrote 1.5 books about music. The second book is lost. The first book, in the second half, and the book is called Concerning Such Mechanism, plus about 20 other words which make up the title. The second half of the book is about music. And in that second half of the book, of which there are 2 copies in a Guildhall library in the City of London, he explains how musical scales should work. And he says, in essence, that there is a large interval and a small interval. He calls them a larger and a lesser. And the large interval is caused by using the equation, if we have any physicists or mathematicians here, they'll immediately understand, the 2 pi root of 2. This gives you an interval which is about 190 cents, which is 1.9 frets on a conventional guitar. By using this, incidentally, if you're taking your clock face again, this happens to be the angle of a radian.
Okay.
Remember a radian?
I do remember a radian.
That's the distance around the circumference, which is equal to the diameter, equal to the radius. Rather like slicing cakes. Anyway, if you have 5 of those, that represents the intervals between the white notes on a piano, which are separated by a black note. That's between C and D. D and E. F and G. A and B. No, when we've ever got to G and A, and A and B. Now that leaves you 2 other intervals, which are the ones of adjacent white notes, which are between B and C,
and
E and F. Right. So you have 5 large intervals and 2 small intervals, which make up your scale. So you'll end up with a major scale, which if this has stayed in tune, should sound like this. This will be C. Now, if you should start on that system of building major scales at a different point, other than at your C, everything gets shifted.
Show me.
Let's say we start on D. We've got... Whoops, wrong one. You see what I mean? So you do it in G at least. You've got to hit the sharp, which is the basic principle of how sharp and flat.
There's an F sharp if you're playing in the key of G.
Exactly. Though it's just the same on this. So what you have to do on a guitar is you have to tune the string slightly differently. Your fifth string is tuned to 110, which is normally is on a guitar. But your other strings are tuned 5 or 10 cents sharper or flatter, so that you can match the scale. Now, the interesting thing about this is not only does it make very good music and allow you to break the octave into an infinite number of parts, because after 19, if you added on more, you would land up with another fret near to an existing one, and you would carry on until you got another fret near to existing ones all the way up to 19. If you went on again, you'd have groups of 3 frets, and eventually this will cover the whole guitar. If you kept on doing that, you would eventually cover the whole guitar in frets, which would be totally unplayable, but an interesting mathematical exercise.
Let's bring this down again. Okay. Tim has played me a piece of music, which was an old piece of music, and your scale just makes that old piece of music sound better. Mm. Okay. Can you play me a piece of music that is a new piece of music that you couldn't play without the Lucy scale? Is that possible?
Well, it is possible and isn't possible. The problem is that this has been discovered literally so recently that I'm not going to be able to do all the harmonies, because what this does is it opens up unlimited new chords. But if you take an existing piece of music, instead of taking a regular major scale, you can make all sorts of nice, interesting melodies like...
Without needing to bend any strings at all?
Then nothing was bent there, but it sounded right. Now, what the chords were to that piece, since it just came straight out of the top of my head, I don't know. I mean, I can work out things using conventional harmonies, and conventional harmonies work. You can use 11ths, 19ths, augmenteds, 13ths, and so forth. For example, this will be a major 7th. This will be a 9th. This will be a 13. This will be a minor.
Yes, you see, I can recognise what you're doing with your fingers. So an ordinary a player who's used to an ordinary guitar isn't going to completely fall off the end of the universe confronted with one of your guitars.
No, all you've got to do is you immediately hear whether you're wrong. You know, you hear whether one of your fingers is wrong. It's just slightly spread out, that's all.
Did you find it hard to acclimatise to, Tim?
Murder. Did you? 15 years of guitar training had to go out the window. For the first couple of weeks, I didn't let myself play standard guitars, just played the scale. And then, having done that, because, as Charles says, it's very new, I showed a couple of other people how to play it, and they found it like falling off a log. So it is, once you've got through a basic barrier, you can show other people how to play it. It's basically, there are no chord books for this guitar.
Yes, I just wrote it.
Can you play me something that might have bent notes in it and just do it without bending the notes? Can you play me something, Tim?
That's
you're bending. Yes.
Bending there.
Yeah.
But if you play instead of bending up there, I'm going to it.
All those notes that all your heavy metal people and all the guitarists bend to, they're hearing the natural harmonics. They're actually on this guitar. You can find them. You're going to have to search around and experiment with and find, but they're all there on that guitar. Mm.
And how would a sitar player feel confronted with your scale? Would he feel at home?
Or very happy. The frets on this are much more similar to that of a sitar than they are to a standard guitar, in that the intervals on a sitar are very similar to this. It's the same as the old Rebecks and Psalteries, which were fretted in the same way.
It depends how you tune it, though, tends to. Yes. I mean, you know, you can move the frets around on a sitar, so nobody ever actually measures what the pitches are on a sitar, but the musicians will know.
And he's doing it intuitively.
He's doing it intuitively, but he's also doing it because he's picking up natural harmonics. Mm. The whole point of what Harrison said, though, is absolutely crucial to our understanding of sound, because it suggests that what we've thought about sound for the last 2,000 years is, in fact, a very bad, inaccurate mathematical model. Because the whole number ratios do not work. You can take a guitar string, can you give me lots of, just go, and give me all the harmonics down it. No.
Oh, you mean play the individuals?
Yeah, you can hear, there are dozens of them. They're all over the place.
Yes, right.
And if you take whole number ratios to find those harmonics, and you do Fourier analysis and all the other things using whole number ratios, it doesn't work. It's a bad mathematical model. If you use pi, as Harrison has suggested, you get a very good mathematical model, which is infinite.
Pi as in 22 over 7. Why should pi come into it? Pi is to do with circles and diameters and areas.
And spirals.
So, hang on. So, no wonder. When I first read about you in one of the Sunday papers, and they drew a little picture, a little cartoon of someone with a knotted fretboard, I can understand why. where do spirals come in?
Okay, anyone who's done music will be familiar with the concept of a circle of fifths. So
right.
You go around in one direction, yeah. You get a circle of fifths. You go around in the other direction, you get a circle of fourths. And that is how it works if you have 12 equal intervals. But if you're using large intervals and small intervals, and you're going around this circle of fifths in one direction and circle of fourths in the other, you don't come back to the same note. You land up with a spiral.
Oh, so you don't actually end up at the octave.
You can end up at the octave, but if you're moving around in fourths and fifths, you won't. Because they're not 1/12.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah. I understand that. So instead of hitting a circle, you get a spiral.
And because you have a spiral, it means that you can move into any direction. You can move into a third dimension with it.
And is this why pi comes into it?
No. The reason pi comes into it is not explained, but my hunch is that it was because John Harrison, working on pendulums, realized, and he did a lot of work on synchronizing pendulums to do the... what do you call it when you set the timing of your clocks?
Synchronize.
No, there's a special word they use for setting resetting the clocks. And he would do this by the coincidence and the phasing of pendulums against each other so that they would be working exactly together.
Well, in a pendulum, simple harmonic motion, you use 2 pi...
Well, just as simple as... Yeah, what's the equation?
Equals 2 pi root L over G.
Right.
And so you're saying that he just kind of thought... Because simple harmonic motion had a circular component, which obviously had pi in it, I didn't know I remembered that. I'm quite impressed.
So am I. I can't remember it.
2 pi root L over G. Yeah. Then he thought, let's try pi in my musical calculations.
Well, I don't know if he sort of went click like that, but during his long lifetime, he obviously mulled over this and thought there's a similar pattern here and wrote it down. He did lots of experiments with monochords, with weights on, and vials, and looking at harmonics. And what he did basically was made a mathematical model of harmonics, which works.
I want to come back to basics, Tim. You say that on an ordinary guitar, any guitar is tuned properly, you play an open E or you play an open G chord, and it sounds wrong, but on this it sounds right, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just demonstrate again. Show me an open chord.
That's a G.
Now G is always a dodgy chord because it's got three open strings in it, hasn't it? And it does tend to sound a little odd.
When I played on this, I played actually with two open strings, adding an extra note there. As it would be played on a normal guitar, it sounds like that.
That's very sweet.
It's resonant.
Yes.
You change to a C on a normal guitar, you can't quite hear the... Sorry, hang on. There. It's as sonorous as the G.
It is.
The D?
That's good as well.
Right. So if you're playing a G and you decide to play around with these frets a little bit, you can play a trick on yourself. What are you doing? I'm going down two frets instead of what on a conventional guitar would be one. If you want to go down as I did the second time. See?
I'm not so happy about that.
No, but the extra note that is there comes into another musical scale. That if you're playing from the... That then makes the... what would be G flat... not work.
But you may want it to be dissonant. Yeah. I mean, that's what composers may intend. Like Stravinsky's things, a lot of which is...
Oh, yes, I mean, I'm quite happy with dissonance when it's...
to do it.
When it's meant to be there. Yeah. What you're saying is that you don't have to have dissonance when you're looking for consonants. You have the choice.
Yes.
Right.
Freedom of expression, I think it's called.
How does the musical establishment look at you, Charles?
They haven't quite decided yet. I think they've all gone away and scratched their heads and said, you know, is it this crazy busker right? Is it possible that, he's actually dug something out that is,
well, this is how
that important?
You support yourself by busking?
Yes. That's what I had done until now. And now I'm actually saying books and, computer discs and all sorts of things associated.
You've written all this theory into a learned tome, have you?
Yes, it's not really a learned tome. It's called A Practical Guide to Microtonality.
Microtonality.
Which sounds very confusing, but it does actually. It shows you how to build guitars. It tells you where to put the frets. It gives you all these nice computer programs and all sorts of stuff in it.
Can you buy...
There's a copy of it there.
Right. And can you buy guitars with these sorts of frets?
Yes. At the moment, they're being manufactured by Frank Lameau, who made this guitar.
Clever.
You
guitar.
Can also make your own if you happen to have a computer, a lot of patience, and are prepared to refret.
Why do you need a computer?
Because if you have different length, the actual fretting of a guitar, this has been worked. It's quite a complicated calculation to work out where all 19 of these frets should be. So the easiest way to do it is to key into the computer the distance from the bridge to the nut and just let it print out where all the frets go. Do it in inches or millimetres or, finger lengths or whatever.
Because that guitar,
you want.
That guitar was built to the Lucy scale rather than it being an old-fashioned one
this
done
one
up. Now I can see. Yes.
Scars.
That one seems as if it's seen Earlscourt Underground Station a few times, has it?
Well, no, I haven't bust with this one very much.
Not Earlscourt, actually.
Isn't
it's,
it?
It's more Fulham.
this one was bought for £10 in Notting Hill Gate, and it was made in East Germany, and I just ripped the frets off, and one of my neighbours put them where I...
Can I just have
a paper
can
to
I,
say.
Can I have a look at that?
Yeah, just try playing it.
Was only £10, wasn't it? Was only £10. I don't know you a fortune.
Like 100 than what this one cost.
What have you done to it? It was probably a perfectly reasonable guitar till you got at it.
Well, the action's a bit high.
That's it.
Yeah, you got it.
You got it. Play a D shape. Now move the end finger an extra fret up.
Go an extra fret on your second string.
Like that. Oh, I see. God, it's a pig to play this one.
Wouldn't expect the £10.
This is supposed to be the white heat of the technological revolution. What about those of us that don't? Gosh. It's suddenly like being pushed onto another planet, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Quite frightening. He just left it on the stand at this exhibition and said, have a go on that. 4 hours later, he came back to collect the guitar and I wouldn't part with
it. It's very addictive.
Yeah, it is.
Once you've played one of these for a while, you don't want to play. It was boring for 12 minutes.
I can get a scale out of it that I can recognise.
Yeah.
But
I'm
now,
doing...
That's after 2 minutes. Imagine what you can do after 5 years on one.
Have any of the great players tried it?
Rick Derringer tried the one with 25, and his comment was, "This guitar is sick."
I think I understand what he was doing.
But he followed it up by saying, "There's some good in these frets."
I mean, the only way I can make sense of it is not to look and let my fingers find the place.
Yeah. But isn't that how a rock guitar is played? By feel, rather than...
Or any guitarist.
Or any guitarist.
Yes. Oh, boy. It's going to change the face of the world as we know it. Where do you go to now, Charles? What do you do with it?
I'm not really sure. I'm hoping that lots of people who know a lot more than I do about quantum physics and mathematics and who know more about cosmology, and especially theoretical physics, will start looking at what Harrison had originally discovered and see whether these patterns occur in nature in other ways, for example, in the... like the Nautilus shell, the way that sunflower seeds grow, right? The Fibonacci series and so forth.
Yes, you think your pattern, which isn't a circle but is a spiral, could be echoed in, or your spiral could be an echo of the spiral that occurs in nature when you get any sort of shell, even a snail shell.
Well, this fits in with what the collective consciousness says, and it also fits in with what mythology had said, that music is a pattern which explains the universe around us.
And so we're talking much more than just tidying up a few untidy dissonances, the odd...
Well, my hunch is we are, but I don't have the background in physics, I don't have the equipment that would be needed, I don't have the resources to prove it one way or the other, but I'm putting it up as a hypothesis.
So this
is how all scientific knowledge is developed, anyway.
So this hypothesis is getting mystical.
Not mystical, no. It's just getting more interesting and perhaps a little more profound than
profound.
Somebody changing the positions on frets on a guitar.
But music does have, I will use the word, does have magical properties. Music is, I reckon, a source of genuine magic.
It has the ability to induce emotion.
Yeah, and that's magic.
Much more than that, I think. Yeah.
So, my opinion, though I've only been playing this for a few months, is that with a little bit of experience and a little bit more work, I will be able to fine-tune the way that those emotions are conveyed by music much more easily, given that I have got a much broader palette of individual notes to paint from, if you see what I mean. We can fine-tune those particular emotions. The big cadence that brings the lump to the throat is going to be bigger.
Does that happen? Is it an effect? Is it cause and effect? You play the big cadence and you get the lump in the throat no matter what. You think you have to put the intellect in the way, don't you? It has to be processed by the mind in order to have the effect.
Mm. It's how you feel at the time.
Exactly. But you reckon
we all switched off a record because we thought we might enjoy listening to it and then found that we were in the wrong mood.
Yeah. So you reckon you'll be able to, taking a Star Wars analogy, hit the target a little more precisely by using the microtones?
Yes. But that's my personal view. That's what I'm attempting to record at the moment. And hopefully we'll have something to listen to sometime next year.
Now, if you have a string orchestra could go across to this scale immediately, couldn't it? Because you're just using non-fretted stringed instruments.
I don't know.
We'd need a new musical stave for a start.
No, I don't agree there. I think I've sussed how to write this music. No problem. You just use double sharps, double flats, triple sharps, triple flats.
Mm. It does make the music quite complicated to read in terms of having to see so many sharps and flats. A different symbol for three sharps, for instance, might be necessary. And bring it down to a code which can be written down quite quickly.
Oh, yeah, that might be reasonable, yeah.
Mm.
Okay. Mm. I think we can write it on staves, though.
Mm.
otherwise everybody's going to be so totally confused. It's got to be accessible to people in this sort of day and age. Mm.
But when you're not having to change the technology of the instruments, if you got a string quartet, maybe that would be the simplest to start with, they could play it. Once they got the idea in their head, they could play it without doing anything else.
They might be playing it already.
Exactly. That's what I was coming round to. Because you are just mechanizing and formalizing what the intuitive musician is doing anyway.
Yes.
But the intuitive musician, if it's a piano concerto, the intuitive violinist has got to play the notes that the piano has access to, or else the pianist is going to be trying to be delving in the cracks, which is a little difficult. Or else you're going to have that dissonance thing going where half the orchestra is playing on one scale and half on another, or the soloist on another, and that doesn't sound good.
But you can hear that happening a lot if you listen to music. You can hear that, you know, the horns will be out of tune with different with the guitars, for example. If you listen to commercial music now, you can hear all sorts of harmonic dissonances that are happening. But they tend to be in a pretty uncontrolled sort of way.
I mean, just play you, just to show you how radical this can be. If I just run up the intervals on the top E. Take me an awful long time to be able to wrest something out of this, I'm sure. You shake your head. Play me something else, Tim, yes. Particularly interested in what they've been hearing, Charles. The book, I mean, is it actually published by sort of Jonathan Cable or someone like that?
Not yet. Hopefully some company is going to take it up and print it in a better form. We can do it. At the moment, it's literally being produced on a PCW Amstrad word processor. Hmm. It is on a disc, on a computer disc. So if you have an Amstrad PCW, you can plug it in. It has all sorts of little programs on it that will draw fretboards, and you can put the notes in where you want, and it will work out the comparison to all the different scales. It will go into all the mathematics of the whole thing. Or you can buy it in hard copy, which is printed out from the PCW. There's a copy of it over there. And then photocopied, which is an absolute pain to do.
Right.
So in consequence, what I've been doing is selling books like that for £50 and giving away the disc, or selling it for £20 on a disc, hoping people will print out their own hard copies.
And you've made yourself into a company, Lucy Scale Developments.
It isn't a company. I went on the Enterprise Allowance Scheme, is how I did it.
Oh, so you're government-backed?
Yes, but not to £20,000, which is what the Times published 2 weeks ago.
Not
but that's
quite
another story. You obviously didn't read this week's Sunday Times.
I did, but I must have missed that bit.
Ah.
And was this a musical
I'll show
update?
You that later. Yes, it was an update on what had happened.
But was it
in the previous article?
Was it interesting musically?
It had a good picture of John Harrison on it.
Ah, okay, right. When you went to that Barbican guitar weekend, did that actually push your cause forward?
Yes, I think it did, because a lot of fairly influential people came along and looked at what it was about. We also had a Yamaha DX7 Mark II. Programmed to a scale, and it was set up so that all the white notes were the naturals and the black notes could be selected. For example, if you pressed one button, all the black notes would be flats. If you pressed another button, they would all be sharps. And then if you had two of them sharp and three flat, so that you could have any combination of tonalities.
Did the keyboard players find that fairly easy to come to terms with?
Yes, they didn't have any trouble, because as far as a synthesizer like that, you just play it as you would conventionally play it, the same fingering and everything else. It's just that the music that comes out is in a different tonality. And you've got to think about whether what you're playing is an F sharp or whether it's a G flat. And the smart musicians know which are which.
And were they pleased with the results?
Yes, I think so. Found some people stayed inside the headphones for a couple of hours. What they were doing in there for a couple of hours, I don't know, but they seem to be enjoying it.
So what do you reckon is going to happen with this, Tim? Is it just going to be put aside in the junk bin of life as the slightly eccentric idea?
No, I don't think so. This isn't a Victorian invention for taking corks out of bottles experimentally. This is actually a working invention. One of the first few guitarists who became interested, it was Robert Fripp from...
Bob Fripp, yeah. Mm-hmm.
...who is a guitarist, very well respected, probably one of the best guitarists in the world. And he's shown a great deal of interest in this sort of system.
Can he play it?
He hasn't had the chance, unfortunately. He's been running his guitar course in Europe, but he's back now, so we're going to marry him up with this guitar.
He has that League of Crafty Guitarists, doesn't
he? Right.
Yes, can you imagine crafty. About 20 of them playing these things? How many have been made so far, Charles? I mean, are we talking...
About eight. No, more than that, nine. Mm. There's a couple of basses as well. This is the very first one here.
What's this?
This was actually... It's a Westone that I'd bought for £75, brand new, and everybody hated it because of the way it looked.
It's not very subtle.
No, it isn't. It's
no, spiky. It's not.
It even had to have a special stand, it's so spiky.
It looks as if you ought to wear platform shoes to play it, really. Yeah.
Which is probably why it was for sale for £75. Anyway, I did the experiments on this one and took it along to Andy's guitar shop in Denmark Street and got Graham Noden to refret it to my specifications. When I got it back, it worked fine. Up to about the ninth fret. Then it went horribly wrong. And I discovered when I, about 2 days later, that the reason it had gone horribly wrong was because when I did the computer printout of where all the fret positions should be and how many cents they were and what their names were and everything else, I missed my counting. There were five figures on a line and I counted and I went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 10.
So he did it right.
So it all had to be refretted from nine upwards. And it's been done. He's done a beautiful job there.
And now it's playable again.
Oh, it's playable again. This one is the most difficult to play. I don't have too much trouble with this one, but everyone else looks at it and screams.
I'd like to have some proper music just before we finish.
What do you mean,
and think.
Music?
No, I mean it's just a tune. No, it's a tune. I don't mind. You know, whether it's conventional or unconventional, Harrison Birtwistle's greatest hits. I don't mind. I just want some music to finish with because I'm fascinated, but sort of bemused. I think would be a good word. I think bemused would cover it. Are you going to play it, Tim?
Yes, just...
Go on, then.
That's a short little piece.
Sounds all right when you do it. Gentlemen, thanks very much indeed for slugging up the motorway to Oxford. There's more to it, I know, Charles, than you could ever say in 50-odd minutes on the radio, I know. And if you want to be put in touch with Charles, I can put you in touch. I've got all the details here, and I look forward to hearing more of this invention in the future. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.